This is a Vantage House production.
There are people who are still under the water.
What were the forecasts like? Did they say it might be an intense flood?
How do we do to rebuild ourselves in a way that normality is possible again?
Can you describe the moment when you realized that this was going to be different?
I don't have a lot of plans right now. I have some dreams.
The entire country just kind of stopped and embraced the state. It was so much love.
Hola, Brazil, tudo bem? My name is Jalen Askew, and I'm the host of a podcast called The Delve. It turns out a lot of you are already familiar with it. Now we're making a Brazilian edition, and this is episode one. Today is June 6th, and if it's Thursday, welcome to The Delve Brazil. I've been living in Brazil for a few months now, preparing for this podcast and exploring the complexity of this country. I've built an incredible production team, and we've gone over so many stories and ideas for episode one. But there was one event in particular that we knew we had to explore on our first episode. On April 29th, 2024, the Brazilian state of Rio Grande do Sul got hit with heavy rains and storms that caused the country's worst flooding in 80 years. 80 years. As of this recording, 166 people have died. May their memories be a blessing. The city of Porto Alegre was particularly hard hit, with entire neighborhoods underwater for weeks on end. Some homes are still flooded. As the floodwaters have begun receding, the true scale of the devastation is becoming clear, and the community began the long process of rebuilding their lives and their city. I couldn't help but remember the images I saw back home in the US when Hurricane Katrina hit our southern states. The city of Porto Alegre today looks very similar to what we saw in New Orleans then. In our first episode, we are honored to have with us Roberto Flaiero, a resident of Porto Alegre who has not only faced the direct impact of this disaster, but has also played a significant role in the recovery efforts. Roberto is a lawyer by training, specializing in restorative justice, and she also owns and manages a cafe in the heart of the affected area. Her cafe and home were submerged for 15 days, and she, like many others, has had to navigate the challenges of displacement and recovery. In this episode, we hear Roberta's personal story, explore the broader impact of the flood on the community, and discuss the ongoing efforts to rebuild. I'm incredibly touched by the resilience, community, and the human spirit that blooms in the face of disaster. I hope you all enjoy this incredible interview. First of all, Roberto, welcome to The Delve Brazil. I want to start this off just asking you on like the most human level, how are you and how are you doing?
Thank you. Hello. It's a really difficult question to answer right now. I really don't know how am I.
I can imagine.
It's a lot of emotions at the same time.
Yeah.
I left my house, which is the same place where I work. I have a coffee place here in Porto Alegre. And that was on the 4th of May. And after that, a lot of things happened, like it got a lot worse, the flood.
Yeah.
And I still am in my friend's house. And after, we started, like, I was really embraced by the community. And we started to make some actions and some collabs so my business could continue existing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that because that made me really, really grateful and happy because a lot of people came to help in a lot of different ways. And after 15 days, more or less, I could enter again in the house.
Wow.
And a lot of people came again to help to clean, because everything was really, really dirty and messy. And that, it's a lot of, it made me really happy and really emotional in a way, because it's really beautiful to see how people were willing to help. And, you know, people that, my friends, my team who work with me, but also people that I didn't know, you know, that I had never seen in my life.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's a mix of a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
Something that is really hard to explain and to describe, because it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's people just willing to help.
Right. I've actually covered a few disaster stories, natural disasters, some wars, and they're always terrible. There's just no other way to describe them.
Yeah.
But one of the really awesome things that we see in these is kind of like the strength of human spirit and the strength of community.
Yeah.
That just kind of, you know, it kind of blossoms in like these really, really difficult times. And it's definitely something that we've seen with the flooding. Roberta, I told you a little briefly, this is our first episode of this Brazilian edition of The Delve. I'm living in Sao Paulo while we're recording this, and the entire country just kind of stopped and embraced this state. It was so much love that, you know, that your fellow Brazilians had for you. I donated. I made a video trying to get as many other people to donate as I possibly could. It was just so profound. We had a similar flooding disaster in the United States with Hurricane Katrina. And some of the images that we're seeing out of Rio Grande do Sul, very, very similar to the images we saw in New Orleans. So my heart is with you and your entire community. I want to take a moment to learn a little bit about Roberta, the person. And can you tell me a little bit about your background and your journey from being a lawyer to, you know, owning a cafe in Porto Alegre?
Yeah. It's a really big journey. Like, I've done a lot of things in my life. A lot of things. Yeah. So I was a lawyer for 7 years, like an attorney of law, really, like in the court and stuff.
Mm.
And after, I started to work with restorative justice. I was based in Rio. So I lived in Rio for 5 years.
Mm.
And I work in the really vulnerable communities there, which was an amazing experience. And in 2019, I moved to Colombia, to Medellin.
Oh, wow.
So I could learn, and this is really how life is crazy and funny in a way, in a really weird way. But I moved to Colombia to study and to learn from them how they manage in their armed conflict situation, like to move on from a really, really violent city, one of the most violent cities in the world.
Yeah.
Today, they are referenced in social innovation. So I went there to study that in 2019 and to leave that, and I started working with them in a project that it's called Resilient City. But pandemic came, so I had to move from Colombia and came back to Brazil eventually in 2020. And I was lost, like a lot of people, after the pandemic, and I didn't know what to do. And I started a business, like, why not? To start a coffee place, a cafe here in Brazil and here in Porto Alegre, which is my city. Like, not the one that I was born, but the one that I consider my birth city in a way. And then I start this project, which is, like I always say, that the coffee is just the means to the end, which is gathering people, which is for me to gather the community. And I have today, my brand is a cultural cafe.
Okay.
So I have jazz concerts, I have cinema, and it's funny because the words come in Spanish now. But my second language was always English, but I've been talking a lot in Spanish, so now it's mixed. But I have some events when people can learn how to draw, it's really artistic, and also it's a place where people go to play and to, of course, have a good coffee.
Yeah.
But, you know, the coffee, it's a way of making people comfortable so they could enjoy themselves in the community and to create and build this feeling of being together.
Yeah.
And was something also that came after the pandemic, because I believe we stayed a lot, maybe too much time on the screen during the pandemic. So it was a way of gathering again, you know, of people being together again in person. That for me, it's a completely different energy than digital.
Sure.
So I always play with the fact that I do the same thing that I used to do in Rio, but just in a different way. So when I was in Rio, I was teaching mostly. I was a consultant. So I was teaching communities how to create an environment, a safe environment, so they could be who they are and so they could have a dialogue, which is for me the most important thing, like in relationships. And when I came back to Brazil, I created a space where this could happen, you know?
Yeah.
So instead of just teaching in an educational way, let's say, I was like being the guard of a place where you have everything. Like it's a safe territory. So this could grow in the community, you know? More or less like that. So yeah. So I lived abroad. I came back.
I'm very...
A lot of things.
I was just going to say I'm very impressed by your dedication to creating safe spaces, you know, for vulnerable people, not only in Rio, dealing with probably really, really intense cases, but for this artistic community in Porto Alegre. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I want to pivot a little bit to talk about the flooding.
Yeah.
When, you know, the news was coming that there might be rain coming, what were the forecasts like? Did they say it might be an intense flood? Did they say prepare? What was kind of like, you know, the meteorologist saying?
Yeah, the thing is, unfortunately, it's not rare that we have news and we have the warnings from the government the water would go up. Like we had it in September last year, in November last year, in January we had one. But it was something like, okay, it will rain a lot. The streets will get the streets will get wet, a lot wet. But nothing even close to what we had this time. So it was really hard to believe that this was going to happen. Like in my house, the water went in the garden, because the house is, you have 13 meters of garden, and after you have the building of the house.
Mm.
So in the garden, there was 90 centimeters of water. And inside the house, it was 50 centimeters of water high, 19, 50 high of water.
Wow.
So, and my house is not really, really close to the river. Like it's, I don't know, 3 kilometers or 4. So it was unmanageable that this could happen, you know? Like, okay, the water is going inside the city and up. Like we could not believe that was going to happen in a way. And when I went out of the house, it was Saturday, I live in, I don't know if I said that, but I live in the same building. So my business in the first floor and my housing is in the second floor. It's a house. My home is in the second floor. And I left on a Saturday with the water on the street. The water was already on my knee. And until that moment...
The water was to your knee, you said?
It was in the in my knee, like the high of the water on the street.
Wow.
It was in my knee.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to believe that was happening.
So can I pause you for a moment?
Yeah, of course.
So I think that probably one of the interesting things was you were telling me that you kind of get these warnings frequently that there's going to be a lot of rain and that there could be some flooding. And then you said this one was a little different. Can you describe the moment when you realized that this was going to be different?
The moment that I realized that it was going to be different was when the water started to go up my house, you know?
Yeah.
Because these rains that I was referring before, they were like warnings for people not to go out of their houses because we are going to have a lot of water on the streets and a lot of wind.
Mm.
So it could be dangerous for you to be like stay on your houses. Like because.
Yeah.
But this time, like we realized it was going to be different because we could see the water going up the streets,
yeah,
and going inside the houses, right? So I realized, and I was still denying, to be completely honest, even when the water was going up my street, I was still like, okay, it will go up and in some hours it will go down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went out of my house and the water was in my knee, I took a suitcase with clothes for 3 days.
Yeah.
Because we thought, okay, it will go up and then it will go down and I could go back to my house.
Sure.
And it stayed going, up, like it continued going up for 3 or 4 days more. And I couldn't enter the house for more than 15 days. So we stayed 15 days with water inside the house. Yeah.
You planned for 2 days and it turned into 15 days.
Yeah.
Wow. And I want to talk about a little bit of the community support. How did your neighbors, your friends, your community, how did you guys come together?
We use a lot WhatsApp in Brazil, the app.
Sure, yeah.
So people just start creating groups on the app and... to help each other and to help people as much as possible.
Yeah.
And everyone, like my close friends knew I was in that area. So they were there to help me and they were there for me. The community, like the neighbors was a bit more delicate because everyone was in the same boat in a way.
Yeah.
Everyone was in the same situation. And we tried, like, we just sent messages one to another to know if people were okay, if they are needing something. But there was not a lot that we could actually do for each other at that moment.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of help from my friends, from my team, people that work with me. And also from people that have cafes here in Porto Alegre. Also, we have a group, really strong one, and we help each other when needed. Obviously, nothing like that before, but so I had another owner of a coffee place that sponsored me in a way, like she was my godmother. And she took me and said, "No, I'm with you." And her cafe is in a place that was not even close to being affected. So,
oh wow,
yeah. In the second weekend, my operation, not the operation of my place, my business was in her place. So we made a collab.
Wow.
That she opened her doors to, so that I could work from her place, me and my team, and it was really, really nice and really beautiful.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible, and we put on Instagram, so a lot of people came because they wanted to help and
sure
to contribute.
Wow. And what do you think are, what are some of the key challenges involved as you guys try, as you try to rebuild, you know, you, the city, how's it going?
I've already, like when I worked directly with restorative justice, I worked a lot with crisis. So managing crisis. So I have a bit of experience, I guess. And for me, I always said that the most difficult part, the most difficult challenge is coming now. Because in the beginning of this process, everything is on the media, like all the country is helping and people are more willing to help. Like all the attention is on us, you know?
Yeah.
But now people are going back to their lives because everyone needs to. And my territory, which is the fourth district here in Porto Alegre, it's a region, really specific one, wrong industrial region where the city began. It's devastated. So everyone that lives there, everyone that has their businesses on that area. There are people who are still under the water. So the water has came out of my house for a week now. It's been a week. But there are people who are still under the water, like houses and businesses who are still under the water. So it's going to be it's a long run, you know, to rebuild everything and to rebuild the morale,
sure,
the spirit, like for us not to give up. There are a lot of people going out, like moving from that region because they are afraid it will happen again, which is completely understandable. And for me, the key challenge is now, like how do we do?
Well,
to rebuild ourselves in a way that normality is possible again in that region, you know?
Sure. I mean, you're living in the place where you work. You're personally displaced. How have you managed to stay resilient? How have you managed to stay positive during this time?
I guess, first, I am a very optimistic person, so I guess this helps.
That's good. That helps, yeah.
Yeah. And I like to see opportunity in the middle of the crisis, so I guess this helps also. And, of course, all the support I received from a lot of people. That is how I manage. Like, I always say that people made me continue to be standing, you know, which is really hard.
Yeah.
In this kind of, like, of course, it passes through my mind to give up and to move, and a lot of things passes through. my mind, but every time I think something like that, there is someone that comes and say, no, let's rebuild, we are here, let's do it together. And I guess one thing that really, really contributes is the fact that my business exists to build community and to support community, and to, I believe on that value so much that it makes a lot of sense that now the community is on, you know, it's on it, and now we are going to stay here with you. Let's rebuild it together. Like, this is really beautiful for me. Like, like, I created the business, but the business is not mine, you know, it's ours. This for me is amazing.
That's incredible. All right, so looking ahead, what are kind of your hopes? What are your plans for the future, for the cafe, for your community, for the city? What do you have planned?
I don't have a lot of plans right now. I have some dreams. I don't know if I could call them plans already.
Sure. Okay, that works.
I am. This is something that I always say that it's really important when we are living times like this, is that we manage to continue dreaming, right? We have to.
Okay.
It's what will make us alive again, continue living and stuff. But
jam.
I have a dream of making a kind of, I don't know yet, but kind of a museum, something that tells the story about what happened, so we have the memory alive.
Yeah.
And preventing that doesn't happen again. And yeah, I have the dream that the community and the territory manage to somehow resist and be resilient and continue to bring joy, because the territory, we have a lot of bars. It's a part of the city that it's entertaining. It works a lot with entertainment. So that we can continue entertaining the city in a way, and bringing joy and happiness and good moments to people. We have a lot of innovation also in that part of the city.
Okay.
There is some important companies of technology there. And also the coffee place, we are rebuilding ourselves. So we are making plans to rebuild the structure that was affected. So I have to change the floor of the house and to paint the walls. And there's a lot of really concrete things to be done. So that are the plans concerning my business specifically. But I also plan to help and to contribute. So the territory and the community can be strong again and get even stronger after what happened and rebuild themselves.
Roberta, I think you're a hero, honestly. I mean, you're doing incredible work. God bless you, and God bless all of you guys, and going through this really, really difficult time. Thanks so much again for taking some time. I really, really appreciate it. And you have all of my support. Thanks so much. Brazil, thanks for tuning in. I know this was a tough episode. My heart goes out to Roberta and the people of Rio Grande do Sul. To learn more about Roberta and her cafe, I've put their Instagram username and a link to support them in our show notes. I've also included a link for the Brazil Foundation, where you can show support as well. Shout out to all the folks who worked on this episode, Juliana from production and Dan Ignacio from sound. I'm Jalen, this is the Delf Brazil, and I'll see you next Thursday. Ciao, ciao.